My wife is in the car right now, and she will be bringing my newborn baby daughter that I'd like to introduce you to. I was hoping she'd be here for me to introduce her, but her name is Evangeline, and my daughter here in the second row is Abigail. Many of you know Abigail, but they are the apple of my eye and the joy of my life. So if you have a Bible, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And as you do that, I'm going to do something I've never done here before, but I'm going to play something for us as an introduction for where we're going tonight. Something I heard on the radio, and I want to make some connection to it.
And we end this hour with a very different kind of letter, a love letter.
Dear Sarah, I am doing nothing, too tired to sleep, yet to get into bed. Time is just 7 p.m. right now, on the nose.
That's Dick Houck, reading from the letter in which he proposed to his now wife of nearly 60 years, Arlene. It's dated March 31st, 1952.
Their love is still going strong, but Dick's letter was eventually lost. For how long, even Dick and Arlene aren't sure.
But the letter was found last week. Care 11 News in Minneapolis St. Paul reports that contractors remodeling Arlene's childhood home in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, discovered the note under 2 layers of linoleum and carpet.
I could say that with the ring, I'm sending all my love, but that isn't so, because the ring could be as large as the world itself and contain only the smallest portion of my love for you.
When Dick Houck wrote those words, Arlene was back in Brooklyn Center, and he was away, serving in the U.S. Army in Fort Devens, Massachusetts.
Let's hope and pray you'll realize how much this guy thinks of you. I'm choking up. How many seconds of every hour of every day he thinks of nothing but you. I love you so very much, Arlene. You're the only one for me forever.
The Houcks were surprised to see the letter again, and to hear Dick read it after all these years. Arlene says one thing is clear.
Well, that he still cares.
Now and then, a letter worth waiting for.
I'm going to bed now in a few minutes. It's 7:45 now. Please be good, darling, for I always will. All my love forever, Dick.
And darling, then I read.
I hope that was understandable. It's hard to hear him when he's reading the letter, but they had found a letter, 60-year-old letter, a love letter, a proposal letter. And in it, he describes his love for this woman, and I don't know if you heard it. He said that, I'm giving you this ring, and if it were as big as this whole world, it wouldn't be as much love as I have for you. Now, after 60 years, this couple had their ups and downs, I'm sure, fights, arguments, trials, tribulations. But you sense that when they found this letter and when they read this letter of when their love was on fire, that it stirred within them a love once again. Almost a choking up. This is my wife, Carissa, and my little baby girl. You can... Yes. You can meet them after. And this is my love story right here, so. But this sense that there's a rekindling of their love for one another because they're reminded of where they've been and what they've been through. The woman even says, oh, he still cares. There's probably times she forgot that he still cared. Tonight we're going to look at John chapter 21 and I want to reflect on Peter's life. And as we reflect on his life, I want to come to our life. And in the end, I want to encourage us, as this couple has made each other lovers of each other, to make Jesus our lover, for he is the lover of our souls. Read with me, if you have your Bibles, in verse 15. And I'm going to begin reading, and I'm going to stop abruptly. I just want to warn you. So when they, and that's the disciples and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, I want to pause as we think of Peter's life. As Peter heard these words, what must have been going on in his mind? If you know anything about Peter, he has a love story with Jesus. When Peter first meets Jesus, he's on a fishing boat. He'd been fishing all night, and he didn't catch any fish. And he came to the shore, and Jesus was on the shore, and he said, "Let me get on your boat, and let's go out on this boat into the sea, and I want you to cast your net out to catch some fish." And Peter says to him, "Lord, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything." He says, "No matter, draw your net." And it says that they caught more fish than they could haul in, and they had to beg another boat to come and help them bring in the haul. Peter was fearful. He said, "Who is this who tells me to drop the net where there are no fish and we catch fish? I'm afraid. I'm afraid of who this is." But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, Peter. If you follow me, I will not make you fisher of fish. I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. It is this Peter that Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Peter, as he became a disciple of Jesus, became the leader of the disciples. When people had questions for Jesus and they couldn't get to Jesus, they'd go to Peter and say, "Peter, what does Jesus say about this?" Or, "Peter, could you get me to Jesus?" It was the leader of the followers of Jesus that Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" When Jesus is with his disciples and he says, "Who are people saying that I am?" And Peter responds, he tells them that they've got all these crazy ideas. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist come back from the dead. They've got all these crazy ideas, but Jesus says to Peter, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the long-awaited for Messiah, the person that we've been waiting for thousands of years, the one we have longed for." And Jesus says, "You're right. You're right." And he says, "Upon you, Peter, in your declaration, I will build my church." It is this man, Peter, that Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Peter, James, and John were three of Jesus' closest disciples. When there wasn't room for all of the disciples, these three would go with Jesus. When Jesus went up to the mount to be transfigured, it was Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples, who went up with him onto the mountain. And there on the mountain, if you remember the story, Jesus almost, it's like he raised up the dial on his glory and revealed himself in glory and power as no man had ever seen. He had seen something none of us have seen. It is this man, Peter, that Jesus asks, "Do you love me, Peter?" Jesus is with these same men outside of Jerusalem, and they're looking upon the city of Jerusalem, and particularly they're looking at the temple, a beautiful building and of much importance to the Jewish people. And as they look at this building, they reflect with Jesus, and Jesus says, "This building might be beautiful, but every one of these stones is going to be destroyed." It's Peter, this confidant of Jesus, this one who has the inner ear of Jesus, who's told, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, as I read the gospel and the story of Peter and how he interacts with Jesus, Peter is, he makes mistakes for sure. But in my mind, there is no question that he loves Jesus. But what is love, brothers? What is love? We'll answer that question tonight. The story continues. Jesus leads his disciples to Jerusalem, and he tells them as they go, he says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." Peter says, "No, this can't be. This can't be." And Jesus rebukes him. He says, "This must be. This must be." And as they're in Jerusalem, they spend the evening together before Jesus' death. And Jesus, he takes a towel and he says to his disciples, "I'm going to wash your dirty feet." And the disciples come up to have their feet washed by Jesus. But Peter, what does he say? He says, "Not I, Lord. The master does not wash the servant's feet. It's the servant who washes the master's feet." Peter loved Jesus. And as they're eating together this Passover meal, and they're enjoying themselves, they talk, and Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "One of you in this group is going to betray me." And what does Peter say? "I will never, ever, ever betray you. I will never, ever deny you. I will go to death with you, Jesus." Peter loved Jesus. But Jesus knew Peter. Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Before the morning, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Three times you will deny me." And as they went out from that dinner, Jesus says, "I need to go and pray, and you guys need to come and follow me and pray." And as they prayed, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, brought his friends and betrayed Jesus. And they arrested Jesus. And do you remember what Peter does? He takes his sword and he cuts the man's ear off, the soldier's ear off. Thankfully, Jesus healed that ear. Peter loved Jesus. And as Jesus was taken to be examined, to be spoken to find out if he was a violator of the law, Peter followed at a safe distance. And as he was in the courtyard and Jesus was with the high priest, Peter was trying to watch and to hear what was happening, but he didn't want people to know that he was with Jesus. So when somebody said, "Weren't you, Peter, with Jesus?" "I've never known that man." The man who loves Jesus. Three times this happens. And the scriptures tell us that once that third time happens, he hears the cock crow. The morning has come. And it says that he looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him. He was destroyed. What had happened to Peter's love? Jesus was taken away to be crucified, to be hanged on a cross. There was one cross on his side and another on the other side. But Peter wasn't there. Jesus died alone. The question is legitimate to ask Peter. "Peter, do you love Jesus?" But if Peter, the leader of the disciples of Jesus, the man who has spent 3 years with Jesus at least, has to be asked if he loves Jesus, what about you? What about me? Do you love Jesus? The answer is not enough. Not enough. You see, Peter's love failed. Our love fails. But Christ's love never fails. His love is everlasting. It is faithful. It is redeeming. His love is forgiving. And he's always wooing, is like a lover who woos his loved one. He never stops. At the beginning of this book, the Gospel of John in chapter 3, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us. Romans 5:8 tells us that God proves his love for us, and that while we are his enemies, sinners, he died for us. When our love fails, his love never fails. So when Jesus was crucified and he died, and they took his body and they put it in a tomb to be dead forever, the women came to the tomb and found that it was empty, and they found an angel, an angelic being inside. And what did that angel say? Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is alive. And go tell your brothers, my brothers, and tell Peter. Peter. The one whose love has failed me, go tell Peter. So they went and they told Peter, and Peter and John. In this gospel, it says that Peter and John ran faster than Peter. Do you think that while Peter was running, he was thinking, I could be in big trouble if I run into Jesus? I really messed up. The Gospels tell us that Jesus comes in with the disciples and speaks with them. We don't know much about what they said. Thomas wasn't there, and he was questioning about whether Jesus was really alive, and had to put his hands and fingers in Jesus' side just to confirm that Jesus was really alive. But then we come to the chapter of our text tonight, chapter 21. And Peter and the other disciples, they decide to go back to a life of fishing. It's almost full circle. You remember, we met Peter as a fisherman who couldn't catch fish. And in chapter 21, we find that Peter is fishing and he can't catch fish. He's been fishing all night long. But somebody from the shore yells out, "Draw out your net to the right side of your boat and you'll catch fish." And they put their net out to catch some fish, just as a last resort. And they grabbed it and they saw that it was full of fish. And they realized that it was Jesus on the shore telling them to put their net out for the fish. See, Jesus was telling Peter, he said, "I didn't call you to be a fisher of fish. But if I call you to be a fisher of fish, you will catch fish. I've called you to be a fisher of men." A fisher of men. Look back at this text in verse 15. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" More than these. Now, I don't know what these are exactly. It doesn't exactly say. Maybe Dominic knows. It could be his life of fishing. It could be the disciples. It could be his own life. It could be many things, and it is many things. See, Jesus asks us, do you love me more than these things? There's things in our lives that compete with our love for the Lord. All sorts of things. There's good things, cars, TV shows, family, work. There's bad things like illicit sex, drugs, alcohol. There's things that compete with our love for Christ. But Jesus is asking us, do you love me more than these things? And he says to him, Peter says to Jesus, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my lambs. In verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. I just want to make a few observations on this text. You'll notice that Jesus says to him three times, do you love me? There's something in Peter's life that I talked about that Peter did three times that I think this is a contrast to. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. Jesus makes him say, I love you, three times. It's as if Jesus wants Peter to know, and he wants us to know tonight in this room, that he forgives and that he receives us. He has mercy for us. He has forgiveness for us. He has cleansing for us. He removes our guilt. He pays for our sin. If we would just repent and return to the Lord. In the Revelation of St. John by the same author, in the second chapter, Jesus sends these letters to the churches, and he sends a letter to the church in Ephesus. And he says, O church at Ephesus, you've done some great things. You fought for the truth. But I have this one thing against you. You have lost your first love. Then he says, but remember from whence you fell. Remember from where you have been. Remember like this radio program that we heard. Your proposal. Your acceptance of the proposal of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember from whence you have come. Rekindle that love for the Lord Jesus Christ that you once had. And if you've never had it, kindle it tonight. Remember our love. And the second thing I want to observe here tonight is that love is accompanied by action. Love is not just words. It has action. Peter said, you know that I love you, Lord. And the Lord said, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Give them the spiritual food and the spiritual nourishment that they need so that they can follow me. Do what I've told you to. You can't just say that I love you. You must go. As my father has sent me, so send I you. And God himself is the perfect example of this. See, John 3:16 doesn't tell us that God so loved the world from afar. But God so loved the world that he came down into the world. He sent his only begotten Son into the world to save a perishing world because he loves us. God proved his love for us by dying for us. I was telling a friend today about what message I was going to preach, and I was telling him about this. And he says, God doesn't stop proving his love for us at the cross. And this friend of mine, he's been in trouble. He's got a felony on his record for drugs, and he met the Lord in jail. And he's repented and he's turned his life around, and it's a wonderful thing to see. But he said, we must receive the blessings that God has for us. God proves his love daily for us. He has sent his Spirit to live in us, to dwell in us. He loves us and he cares for us. Jesus speaks on love in the Gospel of John quite a bit. And in the Gospel of John, love is used over and over and over. First time in chapter 3, but in chapter 14, Jesus goes on about love and love and love. And we learn a little bit about what love is. It's not just words. It's not just what we say. Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. But Jesus says in chapter 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says again, he says, if you love me, you will keep my word. In chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. He later says that I will make my home with him. Our love for the Lord requires that we follow what he tells us to do. It looks like Peter was running away from his call to feed the sheep, but Jesus said to him, get back on track. If you love me, you will do what I say. And he says that to us tonight. If you love me, you will do what I have commanded you. Obedience to what the Lord has called you to. The third observation I want to make is that love, Christian and true love that comes from Christ, is centered not on ourselves, but on others. First, it's centered on God. If you love me, you will tend my sheep. You will care for the people I have called you to. Love gets out of ourselves. Peter was called to others, and we are called to minister, to care for, to love God with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole might, and to love our brother as ourselves. This conversation with Peter that Jesus has changed his life. Peter became the first official preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and revival came forth in Acts chapter 2. And Peter began to feed the sheep of God, and he wrote two beautiful letters. We can find them, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, at the end of your Bibles. 1 Peter is my favorite book in the whole Bible. Can't have favorites because the whole Bible is the Word of God. But I get drawn to 1 Peter. I love 1 Peter. It feeds my soul. It feeds this one little sheep. It continues to feed the people of God. And Peter went on. Church history tells us that Peter had to make a choice again whether he was going to deny Jesus or not. And he decided, I will never again deny my Lord Jesus Christ. And they put him to death. They wanted to put him on a cross like Jesus. But he wouldn't have that. He wouldn't let him. He told them, I'm not worthy to be put on a cross like Jesus. You have to put me upside down. So they hanged him upside down on the cross. That conversation can change our lives as well. If you would just change your life and live in love, Jesus, he will change your life. Jesus is inviting and asking you tonight to love him. He's asking you to set aside the things that hinder you, the things that compete with love for him, to order your loves in a way that honor Jesus. He's inviting you into fellowship with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you, but I don't love you enough. I pray that your words would penetrate deeply into our hearts and transform us and change us, that we might be obedient and loving, that we might serve you with our whole heart, that we would set aside those things that so easily entangle us and serve you. For you are the lover of our souls, and in you alone, will we find joy and peace. We thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.